West Point Community Church. For more info on who we are, go to cpmodesto.org.
Jesus Christ, the King of all creation, the King of our lives, is present and with us when we gather like this every single week. That is really good news, right? Really good news. Yes, that is worth clapping for sure. But it's also worth giving our whole lives to as well. This is not the sort of thing where we say, yeah, Jesus is here, Jesus is King, but it never really changes what we do. The reality is, because he's here, because he's in charge, because he's King of our lives, that changes everything, every single thing for us. And I'm so grateful for that. Absolutely. Grateful to get to experience that alongside you. Welcome once again to Crosspoint. My name is Kyle. If you're new with us, haven't had a chance to meet you, I'd love to get to do that. And we are starting a new series today that's it's connected, I guess, to what we have been talking about over the last several weeks. And so we're in this series called In This Together. I'm really struggling to not always think of High School Musical when I see this and start dancing. We're all in this together. I don't know the dance moves, but for those of you who are young enough to get that reference, that's just what I'm going to think of every single time. Now you have to do it as well. So that's my gift to you. What we are doing, though, is we are talking about the structure of our church, of Crosspoint Community Church. It's not super new or super different than the structures we find in Scripture, and there's plenty of other churches that are structured this way. But if you haven't been with us lately, like, our church is going through a lot of transition right now. We're looking for a new lead pastor. We've clarified, like, our mission. That's what we spent the last several weeks talking through. It's not a new mission. It's the same mission Jesus has given the church since he started it. But that around here, the way we want to talk about it is that we follow Jesus in relationship, really knowing him and obeying what he says. We love people, both who are already a part of this family and those who are not part of it yet. We make disciples by introducing people to Jesus and helping them grow up in relationship with him. And that's what guides everything we do and the decisions that we make. And as we've gone through this process of transition and clarifying that mission, there's also been the question of how should our church be structured? Who should be doing what? Who's in charge? And what's that going to look like moving forward? Some of that is really similar to what we've had in the past, and some of that is changing. And so anytime there's change, it's worth pausing, slowing down a little bit, and really talk clearly through what you can expect as a part of this church family. And so we're going to take the next several weeks and talk about that. We're going to talk about our spiritual leadership today. We're going to be talking about the human being leadership that exists in this church structure next week. And we're going to talk about the role of every one of us as a part of this church family the following week. And we just hope that this is both encouraging, helpful, clarifying, and helps us be able to know, like, where we're headed and what direction we're going. So for this week, I personally think I have the best one. I'm excited about this. We want to start off by making the main thing, the main thing. Like, in this structure, in any structure that a church adopts, this is the main thing. We acknowledge and sit with the fact that in our church structure, Jesus is in charge. He is the one who calls the shots for the church, and I would also go so far as to say, he is the one who calls the shots in this church. That's what we're committed to. That's what we want to pursue, that Jesus genuinely is the one in charge here at Crosspoint Community Church. The human leadership of this church believe that to be true and are pursuing that. The pastoral staff, the leadership team, the elders, the deacons, that we are really pursuing this truth that Jesus is in charge, not just as a consultant, not just as someone who's in charge of big picture things, but that Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, leads us, guides us, helps us make decisions, and is actually in charge of this very church. And here's what that means. In all of this transition, we're actually not looking for a lead pastor for Crosspoint Community Church. We have a lead pastor for Crosspoint Community Church. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah, absolutely. What we are looking for, though, we are looking for someone alongside others who are wise, who love the Lord, who meet the qualifications that we see in Scripture, We are looking for someone to help discern his voice and his direction for our family here in this place and this time. But we want to make it really clear from the start. I know this seems like maybe real basic, like little kid stuff, but we want to make it really, really clear that Jesus is the one in charge here. He is our lead pastor, and he could be trusted better than anybody else that we could find for that. Now, this is 1,000% not a new concept at all. This concept of Jesus actually actively being in charge of his church, every expression of his church, is as old as the church itself. And we know that because of how Jesus acted when he actually walked this earth. And we also know that from what we read about the church in its earliest form and maybe its most potent form. So let me show you a few places in scripture. We're not making this stuff up. We're not just coming up with something new. I want us to see how clearly communicated this is in scripture. They'll be up on the screen. You're welcome to follow along. The first is 1 Peter chapter 5. This was written by Peter. This is what's generally called a general epistle, which meant it wasn't for one specific group of people. It was meant to be passed around to a whole bunch of churches probably that he had visited. At the very end, he starts talking to the people who are helping run and helping facilitate the church. And here's what he says. So I exhort, it's like appeal, ask, beg, like I really want you to hear this. He said, I exhort the elders among you. Don't get hung up on the language of elders just yet. Next week, we're going to talk about elders, pastors, shepherds, all that good stuff. Travis is speaking, so you know it will be thorough. And so just hold all your questions till next week, all right? But it's not necessarily an age thing when we read about elders in scripture. There's qualifications. Travis will go over those. But it's people who are wise, people who get the heart of Jesus, who can help other people come along. That's who he's talking to here. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So Peter's saying, I was there, I saw it. I saw Jesus go to the cross, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter saw the suffering and he also is experiencing the glory and the glory to come. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. He's talking to these people who have some level of human leadership, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. He's like, don't hate every second of doing this. He was like, do it willingly with a joyful heart, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Can't be about power, can't be about money. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That's what he's talking about. He's talking to the human leadership there. And this is the verse I want us to focus in on. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So he's like, hey, you guys all have jobs to do. You're all involved in helping lead these little home churches that are existing all over the world at that time that are under a ton of persecution. He's like, hey, be good examples. Make sure you're doing this from the right motivation. But also he makes a point to include, don't forget, you're not actually the one in charge. The chief shepherd, you're like under shepherds, little shepherds doing your thing. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. There's more. Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. This is written by Paul. This was written to a specific church, and he makes a point to let us know who's actually in charge of his church. Here's what he says. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He loved these people. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Pause there for a second. Paul's saying, I really want you to get this. The fullness of what Jesus has done for you. I want you to understand this. And then he continues in verse 21, describing Jesus, far above all rule and authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is in charge. Really clear, right? He is the head of the body. Elsewhere in scriptures, we see lots of description about how we each have a part to play. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are ears, some of us are eyes. But Jesus is the head of the body, making it be able to do anything at all. One more for you. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 says this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. He's been talking about being adopted into this family, that Jesus has made a way for us to know him, be part of his family. He says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles, those who had seen Jesus and were sent out to establish the church in the known world, and the prophets who spoke the message, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So just three passages of scripture, that's not all of them, but three passages of scripture, we see that Jesus is the chief shepherd over everyone else who might ever take that role. We see Jesus as the head of the body that is so often described as the church. And we see Jesus described as the chief cornerstone that the whole thing is built on. It sure seems to me, like right from the get-go, that these people who saw Jesus face to face, these people who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this stuff down, really wants us to get that Jesus is the one in charge. Yeah, we know that he said that about himself. All authority has been given to me. We know he claimed to be a king. We see in the book of Acts how they took their marching orders directly from him and how his Spirit spoke to them. Jesus was not just a figurehead. He was actively involved in leading his church. So for me, this doesn't seem like it leaves much room for argument. Like there's all these very real powerhouses of the early church reiterating again and again and again, Jesus is actually in charge of his church, that without him, foundation will fail. Without him, the body will not be able to do a sweet thing. And without him, the flock will absolutely scatter. And here's where the problem comes. Because up until this point, you're all like, yeah, of course. We're on the same page. Like, you don't have to keep saying it. I think the problem comes is that most of us, maybe all of us actually, would agree with this at least intellectually. At least theoretically. Like, yes, Jesus is in charge of his church. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever met a Christian, a follower of Jesus, who would be like, nah, man, you're wrong. Jesus isn't in charge of his church. I wouldn't even know what to do with this statement like that given back to me. So I think if I went around this room and asked you, like, hey, do you understand that, like, Jesus is the head, Jesus is the chief shepherd, he's the cornerstone, he's the one in charge of the church, we would all say, like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But the truth, I think this is also a truth, that if I went around this room without giving you that preface and asked you, hey, who's in charge of Big Valley Church? Who's in charge of Shelter Cove? Who's in charge of The House or Redeemer or whatever, the million other churches that exist in the state? If I went and asked you that without any of that preference, I have a sneaking suspicion I might get human being names as your response. I'm not dogging on you, or I'm not making fun or like being critical, because I would do the same thing. Because so often it's easy for us to have this disconnect from, like, yeah, Jesus runs the church, but if I'm really asked, I'm going to give you a human being's name because it's someone I can see and hear and touch and feel. And that makes way more sense to me. What scripture seems to say is that this church, Cross Point Community Church, is not and never was Bill Yeager's church, Wade Estes's church, Matt Whiteford's church, the leadership team's church, Corey, Paul, and Jeff as newly elected elders. It's not their church. It's not the deacon's church. It's not even your church. This is Jesus' church. And we have to actually live like that is the truth. And that, having our actions and intentions match what we verbally agree with. That's the trick. That's what we're after. And quite frankly, in a highly practical world and an organizationally complicated situation that is the church in this part of the world, that can be kind of hard to do. It's a challenge. And I was trying to think of like a good way for to help us see the situation so that we can really go after what Jesus describes, what Scripture describes as his role in the church. And this is what I kept coming back to. Hopefully it's helpful. I don't mean for it to be a little inflammatory, so just hang with me, okay, as we go through it. Even though most of us would agree with this statement that Jesus is the chief shepherd of this church, of Crosspoint Community Church, I also think a lot of us kind of view Jesus and his relationship to the church kind of like Jeff Bezos and his relationship to Amazon, okay? So hang with me. For some of you, you're like, that is straight up sacrilege. How dare you compare those two? They are way different. I just want to make sure that that's really, really clear. But just hang with me for a second, okay? So Jeff Bezos, if you don't know who he is, ridiculously stupid rich person. And the reason is because he started Amazon. We all know what Amazon is, right? And if you go back and look at his story, I mean, it's like so many of these companies that have blown up and made a ton of money, is it started kind of a pretty humble beginnings. He had a decent job, and he saw, hey, there might be something to this whole like online commerce thing, and I think I'm going to jump in on that and kind of put all my eggs in that basket. And so he quit his job. He put a bunch of his own money in. He got his parents to invest in his company, and he started Amazon out of his garage. And it started with books, and I think many of you probably knew that it kind of started with books. But long story short, it blew up, and it's changed everything about how we do things today, right? Like, we have stuff at our doorstep, like, literally the same day. It's changed how often we go to the store. It changed, like, our buying habits. It's a real force, and we all know that to be true, right? What's so fascinating to me is, like, here's a picture of someone who was super deeply grassroots involved in their company at the start. Like, you know that he was putting in hours and hours and hours of work in his garage making this thing work. Fast forward to today, that dude has no clue how most of his company is probably running, right? We know that, right? He literally handed over the CEO responsibilities to another person a handful of years ago. He just does what he wants to do in that company. Like, yes, super involved at the beginning, but now, if you asked him, how does your warehouse in Tracy work? He would have no idea. Not a single clue. Because yes, he's in charge of Amazon, but he's not actively involved with running the lower level, if you want to look at it that way, parts of Amazon. I remember a few years ago, there was like some criticism, you know, about working environment and stuff and some of the Amazon warehouses and some of the distribution centers, and it kind of got some traction. I don't know if you heard about this, and Amazon responded to try to do some PR work and like put out some fires, and they had all the released all these videos of Jeff Bezos and some of those like higher people in the company visiting the little people, you know, going to these warehouses and checking things out. And you're watching these, and I know what they meant to do. They're trying to humanize them, make them seem like, yeah, I understand. But watching those videos, it's like, it is all the more clear to me that you have no idea what you're doing here. The man looked so uncomfortable rubbing shoulders with someone who stands at a line and packages product day after day after day. He didn't even look like he knew how to wear a hard hat. Like, it was just very obvious that his life is so deeply disconnected from where he started. You're still hanging with me on this comparison, right? Yeah? Okay. Sometimes I think we view Jesus in the same way. Like, yes, he came and he walked this earth and he got this thing started, but then he ascended, so he kind of passed off all his responsibilities to a bunch of people. Yeah, he's returning sometime, and yeah, we know theoretically he's in charge, but really when it comes down to the decisions that Crosspoint Community Church makes or my ministry that I'm a part of makes, there's human people who are making those decisions. I don't think, and I get why we see it that way. It's what we experience in the business world. It's what we experience in the world around us. But it ought not to be that way in the church. I'm convinced. Jesus is not sipping some tropical drink with his feet up on a mega yacht somewhere, just hoping that we figure out how to do this thing well. Jesus, through his Spirit, is actively involved in the life and work and health of his church. Let us never settle for anything less than that. Human people will fail you. I promise you. Every lead pastor of this church has failed you, whether you know it or not. Every human being who stood up on this stage to talk to you has failed you. Every one of our elders has or will fail you. Everyone on the deacon board has or will fail you. Now, do we hold each other to the expectation that Jesus wants for us? Absolutely. We are pursuing holiness. Absolutely. But you know who has never failed you? Jesus has never once failed you. Let's trust him to lead this church, yeah? He's the one that knows best. Our job, your job, people with different levels of influence and given different jobs and roles in the church, our whole job isn't to make a bunch of good decisions. Our whole job is to try to discern what he wants us to do. And when we do that, man, we can count on it being a really, really good thing. Jesus is not in charge of this church with a wink and a nod afterwards. Jesus is in charge of this church, period. Let's think that way. Let's view each other and what happens here that way. And let's let our actions prove that we actually believe that. Now, this is one of those things in Scripture that just quite honestly, I keep coming to a lot of these as I read more and more in Scripture. It's like there's some stuff you just got to choose to believe or not. Like, I don't know how many millions of times we can go over it and like debate it and like convince you of it. You just got to decide, do I believe that Jesus is in charge of his church or not? And if the answer is yes, then that means a lot of what we do probably does have to change. And if your answer is like, I think so, but like, I struggle to really live that out, I want to give you today some good reasons why to put your trust in the fact that Jesus is in charge of this church. Because for me, it's a lot easier for me to believe something if I have a bunch of good reasons to believe it. And so I hope that as we go through these with the rest of the time that we have, I hope that this is encouraging to you, because I think that these are things that we can absolutely count on if we truly act and believe like Jesus is the one who is in charge of our church. So I'd like to take you actually to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and to a psalm that is pretty famous, probably many of you here know it, Psalm 23, written by David, probably, most likely, possibly while he was literally out tending sheep. And this whole psalm, it's this picture, it's this metaphor of our relationship with God, with us as the sheep, and him as the good shepherd. And while this is like a poem, so it's like it is metaphorical, poetic, artistic in nature. Oftentimes what we do is we read this and we apply it to ourselves in the individual sense. Like God is our good shepherd and he gives us these good gifts. He leads us where we need to go. And that is 1,000% true. But I think it's really interesting that Scripture uses the same metaphor of a shepherd and sheep, not just to describe an individual relationship with God, but to describe the church's relationship with Jesus. So as we read through this, I would encourage you, like, consider, could this be true of our church if we truly see Jesus as our chief shepherd and get really good at hearing his voice and following his direction? I believe that these are the things that we can count on, that we can have confidence in, if he really is in charge of our church. Let me read through it. We're just going to go by verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our chief shepherd. So I have all that I need. Church, we can count on the fact that if Jesus is in charge here, we have all that we need. You know how many churches, and we've been guilty of it too, you know how many churches feel this constant pressure to figure out what do we need to fix, to advance in, to grow in. We need more buildings. We need less buildings. We need more money. We need young families. We need to take care of the people who have been here a long time. We need to have a greater presence in the community. We need to send out more missionaries. We need. And there's this undertone of like, if we could just get what we need, then we would be good. Then we would be successful. Then we would be who we're meant to be. Man, if Jesus is in charge of our church, we can count on the fact that we have all that we need. Where he has led us, what he has given us, is exactly what we need. We don't have to live with some kind of like scarcity mindset, clawing our way to the next thing that'll make everything right. He is the ultimate provider. He has given us everything we need. Let's just figure out how to use it well, right? He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Something I think we can count on if Jesus truly is the chief shepherd of our church and we act like that's true, is he'll set the pace. He'll tell us when to rest. He'll tell us when to get up and get going. And honestly, in my experience with church, it seems like churches end up landing on one side or the other of that. They become these super high-paced, intense machines that just like chew up people and volunteers and passions. They just chew them up and use them for the machine and then jettison them out. And then all of a sudden there's like a gazillion people deconstructing because they had such a bad experience. Or the other side, where it's like, man, we don't know what the future holds. Things seem unstable. We don't want to ruffle any feathers or rock the boat. And so we're just going to take a really, really slow approach. Both are unsustainable. But Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary. My burden is light. Jesus, if he's our chief shepherd, will set the pace for our church. If we're listening to him, if your elders and your pastors and you are listening to him, he's going to tell you to get off your rear and get going when you need to do it. And he will tell you when you need to pause and rest when you need to do it. And it will be sustainable and it will be effective and it will be impacting. Jesus will get to set the pace, not you or me. And I am really grateful for that because I know I can't be trusted to set my own pace. Verse 3, he renews my strength. If Jesus is really in charge of his church, he will give you the strength to do what we need to do. He'll set the pace and he'll also give us every bit of strength we need to run hard when we need to run hard and pause when we need to pause. Because we are not relying on a person's strength, which will fail eventually, to do anything here. We are relying on his strength, who will never run out, and the strength that he gifts us with as well. Continuing in verse 3, he says, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. If Jesus is truly in charge of this church, he will let us know what's next. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been a part of in my life working at a church where it's like, what's the next step? What do we need to do? What's the next advancement forward? And I get that, and that's not inherently wrong. But man, if Jesus is in charge, you can count on the next step being the right one. One that scripture says brings honor to his name. If we as a church get really good at listening to what he says, we will not have to second guess the next step forward as he guides us. Verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. We sang these words today. For you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. If Jesus truly is the lead pastor, the chief shepherd of this church, he will be close to us, he will protect us, and he will comfort us. And that is such good news, am I right? Which means we don't have to be afraid of anything. David says it, I'm not afraid as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to be afraid of any of that because you're close to me, you protect me, and you comfort me. If Jesus is in charge, it means that we do not have to be afraid of like which way politics goes. We don't have to be afraid of like the moral decay in our world. We don't have to be afraid of persecution or difficulty or transition in our church. We don't have to be afraid of any of that because he is with us, he protects us, and he comforts us with his staff and his rod. Sometimes with that gentle leading of, come on, let's take the next step, and sometimes with a smack and be like, let's get going. And I think sometimes we need both. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. If Jesus is really in charge of his church, he'll bless us. It might not look exactly the way you want it to. Go read the Beatitudes. Some of his blessings aren't things that necessarily we want. But he will bless us to the point of overflow. And I would not dare to stand up here and tell you exactly how God will choose to bless his church, but I do feel confident saying this, that if we really put him as the lead of our church, the actual chief shepherd of our church, whatever that blessing is, it will be overflowing. And it will be exactly what we need, and it will be good for us. Last one. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. That's a promise he makes to us. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. If Jesus is our chief shepherd, this house will be a place where the Lord dwells. And we can count on that being the case for as long as this building stands, as long as this people are together. These are things I believe that we can count on if we really do put Jesus in the place he deserves to be. Now, there's a warning too in this, and I don't think we can blow past it. If we don't see Jesus as the actual leader, the actual one who leads our church, I'm not sure that we could count on all of these things happening. In fact, I would say maybe we won't. So that's where the rubber meets the road here today. This is where it gets practical, and we're gonna wrap up here. Because I know there are some of you sitting here, and you're like, yeah, I know. But inwardly, you're kind of rolling your eyes. Inwardly, you're like, yeah, but how's that actually supposed to work out? Because this approach to Jesus leading our church, it's not practical. It's messy. It's clunky. It doesn't allow for sweeping statements or the ability to systematize every single thing we do. It means some things will be super slow, way slower than we want them to be. And it might mean that some things are much more fast than we are comfortable with. It certainly means that not all of our preferences will be met. It doesn't allow for us to sit on the sidelines and watch, and it might even seem foolish to the world, but man, Scripture has a thing or two to say about that as well, right? So even though this is actually pretty costly, what I hope that we can see today is that when Jesus, as the true leader of this church, when we believe that and when we act like that, we can count on the fact, however difficult it is, however much it costs us, we can count on the fact that this church, Crosspoint, will have all that it needs, that Jesus will set the pace and it will be sustainable, that he will be our strength even when we feel weak, that he will guide us every step of the way and his steps forward will be honoring to him and his kingdom, that he will be close to us, protect us, and comfort us. He will bless us to the point of overflowing, and that this house will be a house of the Lord forever. Is that not what you want for this church? It sure is what I want for this church. I think we can count on this if we take seriously Jesus is the one in charge. Hold your leadership to that. Hold yourself to that. Pursue a lifestyle that knows God's words that he's written down and is very attuned to how he speaks through his Spirit, the creation, through other people, all the ways that he speaks. But let's make sure to never settle for less than Jesus being the one that calls the shots in this church. We'll talk about all the other roles in the weeks to come, but let's never forget that this is what is going to determine what this church is going to be in the future. Let's pray. And then I have a few things I want to share with you as we get ready to head out. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being so clear. Lord, we repent of how complicated we make it sometimes. And I just pray that this stuff would not leave our minds as we leave this place. I pray that as we think about our roles in this church, as we think about the relationships that we have, as we think about the life that we're living, God, would we not settle for this picture of you of, yeah, he got this thing started, but now he's off on a private island somewhere, and maybe he makes one or two decisions a year, but it's really up to us. Lord, I pray we would be dependent, that we would be humble, we would recognize your way is the best way. So however difficult it is to hear your voice and follow your leading, let's do it. because your way is so much better than anything we could come up with on our own. Pray we would remember that. You would remind us of it often, that we would embrace the cost that it takes to actually live that way, and that you would do some insanely incredible things as a result. And we're just really grateful to get to be a part of it. We love you. We thank you. In your awesome name. Amen. Amen. A couple things before you go. One is this. We just want to remind you to volunteer for Christmas stuff around here. It's a great opportunity to serve each other, to encourage each other. There's a lot of different ways to do that. You can go to cpmodesto.org/Christmas, and you can see all the different things. Just pick one that works for you in a way that is helpful to the rest of the church family. Something else we wanted to mention kind of in tandem with, there's ways to volunteer with our time and our presence. There's also ways to help through our resources. And as probably most of us know, this whole benefits situation, SNAP situation with the government shutdown, it's been this fluid thing, and I don't know where it's going to land. But what I do know is that we have a fund at our church that's for that if people are struggling. And so if you're interested in helping someone who may find themselves in a hard spot later this month or in the Christmas season and would like to give to that fund, it's called the Deacons Fund, and you can go to cpmodesto.org/give, and you can give directly to that fund if you want to help for someone who's maybe getting a little behind on what they need to do. We just encourage you to do that. We got a lot of people in our church family who rely on some of these benefits, and this is a really easy way for a few of us to contribute and help make that a little bit less of a burden for them. The last thing I wanted to mention is we committed to you during this transition to have a Q&A each month where we just can answer any questions you have, talk through any things that you're wondering about. Today is the date for our next Q&A. It's going to be over in the social hall. There'll be some deacons and some staff over there. So if you have questions or want to talk through anything, we'd encourage you to come be a part of that. You can scan that QR code and submit questions even now if you would like to. As we wrap up, we do this every single week. We'd invite our prayer team to come forward. We believe prayer is powerful. It changes things. We want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for. And if you need to talk through anything, we would encourage you to come forward and do that. So prayer team's coming up. If you'd like to be prayed for, come on up. Other than that, have a great equipping hour, great rest of your week, and we'll see you back here next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you feel inspired and moved by what God is doing here at Crosspoint.